Then I'm trying. What is the date today?
7th, I believe.
Today is August 7th, 1989. This is Roseanne Ariel. And a,
excuse me. I think I said the wrong day. Friday's the 11th, so Wednesday would be the 9th. Is it Tuesday? It's the 8th.
Oh, today's the 8th.
The 8th.
Okay, today is August 8th, and this is Roseanne Ariel and Aviva Karev interviewing Dr. Rose Middleman for the NCJW Oral History Project. When we were here last, we stopped. You had been telling us about your activities and career at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And we talked about some of the things you started. You started one of the first clinics there, setting up for abortions when they...
Well, I was involved in it.
You were involved in it.
Yes, right. As medical director, I was involved. I mean, I didn't start it. The board of directors made a decision to have an early abortion clinic.
Uh-huh.
And it was my responsibility to get it off the ground. And we also had a somewhat unique... experiment which didn't work very well. We started a clinic for young men distributing information and condoms. Huh. And this was, you know, like 15 years ago or more. And I forget, we gave it some cute name like the male clinic. We had a hard time. You know, people came, but it never picked up.
Why do you think that was?
I guess young men did not feel it was their responsibility to provide contraception. We try to publicize it. I mean, we didn't have a big campaign. Funds are always a problem there. But it just didn't fly. We tried it for about a year. Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough utilization, so we discontinued it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I wrote it up for a journal, and it got published in one of the leading public health journals.
Oh,
it did. Yeah, you know.
What was the name of the article? Or do you know what journal it was published in?
Yeah, I know what journal. American Journal of Public Health. It's the leading public health journal. And because it was so unique in those days, now it wouldn't be considered all unique now, but...
Mm-hmm.
They picked
it up.
Do you
have any chance of copy of it?
I have somewhere, but I can't lay my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we read it up as a failure, which it was,
mm-hmm.
but it was interesting. We did a little tabulation of, you know, how many came and how many came back, and it was and what kind of responses we got from the clients. But I have really forgotten the details, and somewhere... When I finally throw out all the junk I have to throw out, I'll find it. It's in with my all the other paper and stuff that I brought from my job. You know, when you retire, you think that all the stuff you're dealing with is so important, you bring home scads of stuff you're involved in. Of course, you never look at it again. I haven't yet gotten to that to throw it out.
I see. What other, were there any other different projects or interesting projects that you started or were part when you were working?
Planned Parenthood had projects which only partially involved me. We had seminars for clergymen, trying to make them comfortable with sexuality, and we had very capable speakers at these seminars talking about some of the details of human sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that clergymen who are often counselors informally would have some familiarity because many, many of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very well received. And
were any of the Jewish organizations involved in this? Or did the rabbis from any of the synagogues attend these?
No, I don't... I think our rabbis are more sophisticated than a lot of the ministers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of the rabbis attended.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several Jewish people always on the board of Planned Parenthood. But, no, Jewish organizations weren't very actively, weren't involved, I should say.
Mm-hmm. How did the community in Pittsburgh respond to Planned Parenthood, per se?
Well, I think mostly favorably, although I do remember in pursuit of some project trying to put a clinic somewhere, I went out to meet with a principal of a school, and I don't remember what kind of school it was now, even. And he, when he talked about Planned Parenthood, you'd think he was talking about a dirty word. He was sort of embarrassed as though he had said one of the four-letter words in public. To him, it was a little bit shameful, the whole, just the word Planned Parenthood. I mean, he was ultra unsophisticated. But mostly people, I think, had a positive response to Planned Parenthood. Very much so.
Were there any interesting anecdotes or anything that you could think of to tell us about Planned Parenthood?
I think you asked me that last week, and I'm sure there were a lot, but at the moment I can't think of any. I told you we had a fertility clinic, and these couples were very well studied with all the latest methods. We employed a physician who was up on everything, fertility expert. And one of the things they had to do, the male of the couple had to leave the semen specimens, successive semen specimens. And we had a young girl as a receptionist. She was just out of high school. And he came to the this young man, who was part of the study, came to the desk and asked for a receptacle for, I don't know how he asked her, but he took it, went into the bathroom, came out, and the semen specimen, and she said, "How did he get that?" She was absolutely mystified. Yeah. But that isn't really an anecdote. I've forgotten the details of how it happened. It all happened very innocently. She had no idea what was going on. I suppose nowadays you wouldn't find that many unsophisticated 18-year-olds
either. I don't think so. Did Planned Parenthood educate, do any education with younger, like high school children?
Oh, yes.
High school kids?
Well, of course, it was always a barrier. The Board of Education was trying very hard not to get too involved with Planned Parenthood. There was a lot of resistance. But we did work with the School for Unwed Mothers. We were I was on the board for a while, and one or two others of us. And we were there when it was started, and we gave them regular medical services and so forth. Oh yeah, that part we were.
What about the church in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, the Catholic Church's hostel and all the others they vary. Some of the denominations are very friendly. A member of our board was a very wealthy man from Swickley, and he had some kind of a very high position in the Episcopal Church as a layman. And he, when the abortion thing first started, he got asked me if I would serve on a committee he was forming on the abortion question for his church, consisting of all clergymen plus me to give the medical know-how. So I was in on that, and the whole committee was clergymen except me, and they used me as a medical resource. And we had on this committee people who were pro-abortion and people who were sort of anti and so forth, and we met regularly. And I got to meet some of the clergymen who, whose names I see in the paper now and then.
Can you tell us some of their names, people who are involved in it?
I can't remember them offhand. I see them every now and then, and I say, "Oh yeah, that was that guy." But I really don't remember. So.
And when did you retire?
I retired in April 1976.
And what made you decide to retire?
I told you, the organization had a policy that everybody retired at 65.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I became 65.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I retired.
And what did you do then?
Well, first of all, I took a trip to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Got on the board of an organization or two.
Like what?
Well, I was active in League of Women Voters. I was on the board of League of Women Voters, but frankly, I found that very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Although I like the organization, and I'm still active in it down in Florida, in the where I am in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it being a little boring being on the board. And I do a little bit of volunteer fundraising for the University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have annual fundraising campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it is social, and I don't really do much of anything.
Do you have any special hobbies? I see you have a piano here.
No, that's not me. That's my husband's a musician in the family.
He
plays three instruments.
Oh, wow.
Not the piano, but he plays three other instruments. The piano's here for when they play quartets. We almost had a conflict this morning. They were supposed to play quartet here, and they finally decided to play quartet downstairs. We have a game room that has a piano, but somebody couldn't make it, so the quartet was canceled.
Oh.
So that's why we have a piano, because it's nice to have a piano when you're playing quartets.
Uh-huh. Do you, I think you are...
I did study the cello, but... after a few years, I quit. After about 5 years, I decided it wasn't going anywhere, so I gave it up.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any special hobbies or anything like that?
Well, not really. I can't say that I have any special hobbies, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what kinds of vacations? You say you're in Florida for the winter?
Yeah.
When did you start doing that?
In 1980.
Uh-huh. So you go there?
We normally go in early December and stay till early April.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing that for the last 10 years.
Mm. Where do you go in Florida?
West Palm Beach.
Mm. Are you involved in any special activities when you're in Florida?
Yeah. We formed a little retired physicians organization, and I'm active in that, and we arrange... every year we arrange a seminar, a series of lectures on medical topics for the public. There's an adult education institution down there called New Dimensions, which utilizes the expertise of a lot of retired professional people that are down there in the winter and uses them as faculty, and participants pay a small fee, and they have some very nice lectures on an ongoing basis all through the winter season. So I've been involved, and we take a series of four lectures,
mm-hmm.
our physicians' organization does.
I see.
And I go to medical staff meetings down there. I used to, they now have barred us. It's being overutilized. We used to. All retired physicians could come to staff meetings at one of the hospitals. But they were serving beautiful lunches, and people were bringing relatives in. They got overutilized, so now they've made it very tough, and we can only come to some meetings. Which, I won't be going to many of those.
Uh-huh. Are you currently involved in any Jewish or community or institutions here?
Well, I belong to several Jewish organizations, but I'm not active.
Uh-huh. And what about synagogue affiliation?
We were affiliated when our children were Sunday school age, but we're not affiliated now.
Mm-hmm. Where were you affiliated?
Temple David.
That's here in Monroeville?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a conservative one, I believe.
No, it's Reform.
Reform.
It's very close to conservative.
I think I've heard of it, that's just why.
Mm-hmm. It's a small congregation.
Jewishly, do you see yourself as being involved or having any special practices or anything Jewishly?
I don't know what you mean.
In terms of like your home observance.
I'm non-observant.
Okay. I didn't totally know
anonymous.
There.
I'm a secular Jew.
Okay. That's what I need to ask.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What about your children? I didn't ask you anything about what they do or where they live.
Well, my eldest is a daughter. That's Norma.
Mm-hmm.
And she's married, and she lives in Dayton, Ohio with her husband and her son.
What does she do?
She's an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
She works part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And my second child is Howard, and he lives in Lake Worth, Florida. And he and his wife are crafts people. He's a goldsmith, and she's a cloisonné artist.
Mm-hmm.
They do beautiful work, and they make their living at that.
Do they have children?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Cats.
Cats.
Okay. Four cats. And my youngest, I almost forgot, my youngest is my son, Alan, who is a lawyer and also a computer consultant.
Uh-huh.
And he lives in Pittsburgh.
Is he married?
No.
And I didn't ask, your grandson?
I have one grandson.
And
belongs to my dad. He's 23.
23. What does he do?
He's finishing up college in the University of Cincinnati.
Uh-huh. Oh, what is he going to do?
He doesn't know.
Is there any way that you can contrast the way that you were raised with the way that your children were raised?
Well, most certainly.
In terms of like permissiveness, changing mores, I guess.
Well.
How would you contrast the two of them?
You belong to my children's generation, so you probably don't know, but when I was raised, there was very little permissiveness, and children were not really, the family was not, at least our family, was not democratic. The parents made all the decisions. I mean, there was no unkindness about it, but we didn't expect that we had an equal voice. And I think that my children's generation, well, my husband and I are probably less permissive than most parents of our generation. We still did not feel that children should rule the roost, but of course it was much less, much more democracy raising our children. We really felt like second-class citizens as children living with our parents, but children nowadays don't shouldn't. I mean, it's just a change of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that, I don't think there was too much difference.
No.
Of course, I worked practically all my life.
That was unusual, I think, for a lot of women.
Yeah, but I was fortunate that I had a profession which paid me well enough that I could employ reliable help full-time.
Did you ever feel any stigmatism about, you know, from other peers, other
mothers? Yeah, other mothers kind of resented that I worked. And sometimes slyly implied that I was neglecting my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us at work have that little bit of guilt, and maybe we're more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I wasn't, because for the years that my kids were growing up, my mother happened to live, first she lived, when we were renters, she lived right in the apartment next door, and then we bought a duplex together right after the war, and she lived upstairs and I lived downstairs, and she was always there.
Did she help take care of the kids?
Well, I had full-time help, but on the housekeeper's day off,
she was there,
afternoon off, during the week she was there. And it was, you know, they always knew there was somebody there, and the help was not changing very much. I kept help for a long time, so they had a lot of stability. And I took jobs. I did not really practice for a long time when the kids were little.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a part-time practice.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Because I worked as a school doctor, and I was home a lot.
Was
so I didn't feel, you know, that I had neglected them in any way.
Was there any stigma about your working at Planned Parenthood?
No. Not at all. No. No, I think it's a respected organization. I don't think there's any stigma to it.
I didn't know at the beginning there was.
No.
At that point. What would you say, what do you view as your most significant accomplishment?
I really don't know. I suppose I could say that bringing up three children who all turned out well is a great accomplishment.
I think it's a wonderful accomplishment. What about professionally?
Professionally?
Mm-hmm.
I think probably let me see. I guess I did quite a bit to establish Planned Parenthood with sound medical standards. I mean, I only hired physicians to work for you. Is it raining?
Oh, yes.
It certainly looks dark enough. I maintained pretty high standards while I was there, and we did not have any physicians who in any way sloughed off, and they had to maintain the very highest ethical and professional medical standards, or they were out.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's an accomplishment.
I think so. In retrospect, is there anything you would have done differently?
I don't think so.
Or is there anything in your life you wish you could have changed?
No. I don't think so. I haven't found myself wishing that.
It's a hard question. Sometimes you just don't think about them, you know.
Yeah.
Are there any other information that you would like to add, any honors or awards or publications or anything like that you'd like to share with us?
Well, in medical school I was elected Alpha Omega Alpha, which is an honorary. I was one of the first, I was the second woman ever elected.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, what is that? That's an
honorary medical.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And, I don't think I've had any other unusual experiences. I remember I was very surprised and very thrilled. I didn't ever expect to be, but I was.
You mean being elected?
Yeah, being elected to an honorary.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose some of the work, I did a lot of extracurricular work on the abortion issue between around 68 and 73. I think I mentioned it last time. We formed a very dynamic woman named Pat Miller, who's now a very successful lawyer. She was then a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
Formed an organization to fight for abortion in 68, and I was invited to the initial meeting. We formed an organization called Abortion Justice Association, and in it were very fine people, very capable people. There were was at least one psychiatrist and at least one lawyer that I remember. You know, this is so far in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what, 16 years since the Supreme Court decision. I work day-to-day with these people. Right now, if you ask me to name them, I could only name two or three. Because, you know, I'd have to pull their names off.
What were the names that you can remember?
Well, there was Pat Miller, who was the president. I was the vice president of the organization. And there was a lawyer whose name I don't remember, and there was another gal whose name I don't remember, but who's now a lawyer in Erie. And the four of us really were sort of the nucleus. And we really spent a great deal of time going out and speaking and researching some of the issues that the antis would bring up in order to make valid rebuttals.
Mm-hmm.
And
are the issues the same then as they were now?
Yeah, pretty much. The it was the old story of you're killing a baby and so forth and so on. And we really spent a great deal of energy, and this was extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
Although Planned Parenthood was quite generous, and if I was asked to speak out of town on the question, they would give me the time to go, you know, and mm-hmm. consider it. But we really worked very, very hard from 68 to 73. About 68 we started.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some exciting times. Sometimes we'd go to an audience and it would be a lot of antis and we wouldn't have much sympathy in the audience.
Right. I think I asked you last time about if you plan to be involved or if you're planning on doing anything at this point.
No, nothing. You know, you're both young yet, but you get to a certain age and you just feel that... at least I do. I don't mm-hmm. feel that I have the energy to be involved and be active. And so.
Were you surprised by the decision?
Which one?
The one, the recent decision, the Webster decision.
No, nobody was.
Do you want to comment on how you think what's going to happen in the near future?
I really, in the near future,
mm-hmm.
well, I think there's going to be a lot of fighting and a lot of confrontation. The anti-abortion forces are stronger and more militant. You know, in the beginning, it was the church that was really, the Catholic Church that was really the basis of all the opposition, but now they have the what do you call it?
The Operation Rescue?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Middle American, very conservative Protestant groups, church groups that have been enlisted in opposing abortion. They're a pretty big force,
mm-hmm.
and they've joined with the people who are opposed to abortion because they're Catholic. And the opposition is much stronger now than it was in the beginning.
Why do you think that changed? How was this new group enlisted, do you think?
Well, they say a lot of it is due to a very successful right-wing publicist who, this was up your alley, who first utilized mailings to mobilize people for his causes. I mean, they were able to really mobilize people by successfully using mailing lists and flooding them with a great deal of propaganda. I think this is how they got to some of the...
Sounds so simple.
Yeah. I forget his name, but...
they worked very hard. Their lobby was probably very, very good.
Well, and all of a sudden, when I was active in the abortion movement, we had just a minimum of non-Catholic opposition. There were one or two who represented very right-wing Protestant church groups, but it was all practically all Catholic. But I think right now the others are much more prominent in the opposition to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So they've probably continued to do this, and a lot of people are carried away with this fervor that they want to save lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's strange that I should be so pro-abortion, because when I went to medical school, there was no dirtier word than an abortionist. If you called somebody an abortionist, you denoted that he was the lowest of physicians.